Courage starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. Brené Brown. Welcome everybody to the Story Cafe. If you are brand new here, my name's Adriana, and I'm the host of Story Cafe, where I talk about life and how we're all just trying to muddle through it, and things that can help us find joy in those moments of challenge, things that we can laugh about, and I talk about all these things through storytelling. So welcome everybody new and anyone who has stuck with me this far. Thank you so very much for being here. Today we are talking about bravery. And this topic came up for me in this week because this week I started spring running again. And for me, spring running means, you know, picking up where I left off in the fall, which in some moments feels like I'm starting all over again. So I have to work really hard to shift my perspective and not get sucked into thinking that somehow because I didn't run all winter, I failed. So instead, I'm picking up where I left off. And to help me this year, to help motivate me a little bit, I decided to follow a plan I found online created by Kelly Roberts, who has a podcast. She has, she's like an influencer, I guess. That's what they call people like her. And she has this business called Badass Lady Gang. And if you are into running, you should check it out. She's really quite funny. I really enjoy all of her content. And she has a plan online that gives you the whole, like, when to run, which days to run, all that stuff. But she also has a podcast where for each run, you listen to this podcast. She tells you when to run. She tells you when to stop. And probably, most importantly, she tells you when to not give up. So she really pushes you to just keep going. But also kind of acknowledges, like, your whole goal is to just do your best. And so I really liked this podcast. It was the first time I'd ever done it. And it was a lot like having a coach run with me. That's what was really interesting about it. It felt a little bit like this little coach was sitting on my shoulder cheering me on. And it got me thinking about how delightful it would be if every time we had to be brave or had to do something hard, we had a coach on our shoulders to help us keep going. So that's kind of the inspiration for today's podcast on bravery. In one of the stories that Kelly tells in the first episode, she talks about not feeling like she was as brave as her friends were. And it really struck a chord with me because I think there are so many moments in life where I didn't feel brave enough to do something, or moments where I didn't think it was possible to complete a task. And it's been rolling around in my mind a little bit all week, this idea of bravery and what even is bravery, right? How do we get to be brave? Is bravery like a muscle? Does it get stronger the more you use it? Maybe. I mean, for all the brave things I've done in life, it's still really hard every time. So maybe it is like a muscle, maybe it's not. I've heard people talk about bravery, and I've also talked about it this way with my kids, but I've heard people talk about bravery as if, you know, it's doing things even though you're scared. So being brave doesn't mean you'd never get scared. It means doing things anyway. And I like this idea. I've used this idea with my kids, but I do think it simplifies it a little bit because I think being brave is really complicated. And it's not as simple as just like, okay, I'm scared, I'm going to do it anyway. So for me, bravery is overcoming the urge to hide when I'm just scared or overwhelmed. I think for me, bravery is climbing what feels like a mountain to me, even if to other people, it feels like a molehill. Bravery is, you know, not doing something when every bone in my body wants to react. And sometimes the bravest thing we can do is to not act. It's really so many things. And even though I think through my life, I've had so many times where I have been brave and courageous, it can still be hard every time I'm faced with challenges that scare me or seem impossible. As I was putting this podcast together, I spent some time reflecting on my own brave moments and trying to figure out which ones were the hardest. I mean, this podcast came to mind, which I've talked about this podcast as leaping out of my comfort zone. And sometimes that's what bravery is. Sometimes we are brave when we step out of our comfort zone. But sometimes bravery is attached to a lot of other things as well. I thought about when my family and I picked up and left the city and moved to the country. That felt really brave. There was a lot of unknown things. I also thought about, you know, little things I've done, like gone on a zip line or gone on a high ropes course. Like all of those things kind of require bravery. But when I thought about all the different things I've done in my life, there was one thing that kept kind of coming to the top of the list. And that was the year that I took a year off from dating to focus on me and, more importantly, focus on why in so many experiences I had in relationships had been really negative and really unhealthy. So that for me was probably one of the bravest things I've ever done. And it's not flashy. It's not even particularly exciting. And it was a whole year, which a lot of times brave moments are like moments. Sometimes they're really long. This was, you know, one of those long ones. But throughout my early kind of dating life, I routinely got into relationships with people that had a negative impact on my life. I had toxic relationships, manipulative relationships, and just generally unhealthy relationships. And there are lots of reasons why these were the relationships I ended up with. And, you know, I've talked on here just a little bit about my childhood and all that stuff is connected. I'm not going to get into it today, but all those things have an impact on how we have relationships in our adult life. But I do remember having this moment where I said to myself, why me? Why am I always in unhealthy relationships? Why are all the guys that I'm dating just in the end end up being like either just really unhealthy themselves or toxic or manipulative, but just generally not in a space where they can be in a healthy relationship? And that kind of moment when I asked myself that question, what I realized was like I needed to change me. And that's a really scary thing to do, right? Because it meant that I had to look at what I was doing, how I was reacting, and do the work to fix that part. Because we can't control other people. The only thing we can control is ourselves. But I knew if I didn't do something, I was going to continue to be in these relationships that were unhealthy and not good for me. So I do want to stop and acknowledge that in telling this story and in remembering, you know, this moment in time for myself, I don't believe that I deserve to be treated the way I was treated in those relationships. And I don't believe that it's ever a victim's fault when they are abused. You know, I think the person that is manipulative or the person who is behaving in a way that's not appropriate or unhealthy or abusive, that's their fault. Those are the choices that they make. But I kept getting into relationships with people who treated me that way. And so I was the person that needed to change because I needed to choose different people. I needed to notice warning signs, which were there early on when it was easy to walk away. So that's why when I think back to my bravest moment, this is what came up for me. Because I had to do a deep dive into my own decisions. And I had to do a deep dive into why I was making those choices. And it's a pretty brave thing to put a mirror in front of yourself and say, hello, what's going on? Why are we doing these things? So I started this journey on January 1st. So I literally gave myself a whole calendar year to do some things that would, you know, improve how I felt and maybe get to the bottom of, you know, some of these personal realities I was experiencing. But I went into it without a really solid plan other than I started with, I'm not going to date for a year. I did not know exactly how I was going to fix or transform myself, but I knew it was really important and I had to do it. And I was in my early 20s. I had time. I didn't work a full-time job. I had an amazing roommate. I had wonderful neighbors and friends. So I had some time to really spend figuring some of this stuff out. So I would journal about the person that I wanted to be. And part of that involved being healthy. So I started to try things that lined up with that. At the time, I would never have considered myself a runner. I didn't run. And in fact, I had a lot of disdain for runners. And I have since realized that part of that came from I was terrified of running because I saw it as something that wasn't for me. And so because it scared me, it was easier to have negative feelings towards people who did that thing, that running thing, than to actually acknowledge, that's really cool that they're doing that. I would like to do that, but it scares me. So at that time, I never would have considered taking on running. What was interesting, though, is I lived in this house and there was kind of a stretch of hallway that went from my bedroom through a hallway into the kitchen that was probably 15 or 20 feet long. And so I would work out in my bedroom, music going, and then part of my workouts, I'm laughing before I even tell it, part of my workouts involved running back and forth between my bedroom through this stretch of hallway into the kitchen and then back again. And I would just go back and forth and back and forth. And I could have just gone outside. I lived in the most beautiful place and I could have just gone out to the dirt road and actually learned how to run. But I was too afraid to do that. That wasn't the brave moment I was going to have. So I started working out, which I started to feel healthier. I started to feel stronger. I started spending more time with friends and really focusing on friendships instead of relationships. And as I did that, I really started to notice the people around me that had healthy relationships. And I started to pay attention to what those look like. I started to notice that the way respect shows up in a healthy relationship was very different from how it was showing up in my own life. And so I learned a lot from watching those folks. And then on top of that, probably the bravest part of what I did was to dive into my own decisions and habits and think about how they were connected to my own history, my own childhood, and then really think about like, what was I going to do to change those things? And this was not enjoyable. My instinct was to run away from this. My instinct was to put blame elsewhere. It's not my fault. But I really wanted to change this part of me because I had a lot of dreams, right? I wanted to have children someday. I wanted to get married someday. And I didn't want my children to have a childhood like I had, right? Probably like a lot of people, I wanted it to be different for them. So it was really, really important to me. So I did the work. And as the year progressed, the little things I was doing really started to change who I was. So I started to feel more confident. I started to stand up for myself in different situations or just share my opinion in situations where I might not have shared my opinion before. And I really started to see some of my strengths. I started to see maybe what my place was in the world. I mean, I'm still trying to figure that one out. But it really, like, little step by little step started to kind of come together. And I had named this... I had named this project, this undertaking of my year without dating, Project Butterflies. And there were moments when I wanted to throw it out the window, right? There were moments when I just wanted to say, I'm done with this, but I didn't. And so I think pushing through that hard thing, allowing myself to be really vulnerable with myself was the bravest thing that I think I've done. But not all bravery looks this big and takes that long. Although I bet there are brave things that some of you are doing that are really long projects. But sometimes bravery is, you know, a very small thing we do, like climbing to the top of a fire tower in Scotland so that your kids can see this amazing view, even though it scares the pants off of you. I think about the time I asked my husband out on a date, and that felt pretty brave because I still kind of existed in a world where, like, girls, and I say this in quotation marks because I realize I'm adding a gender to this, but at the time, you know, boys in quotation marks asked girls in quotation marks out on dates. The reality is so much has changed in the world since then. There's a lot more that needs to change. But for me to ask him out on a date felt brave, felt big. It was brave when I asked my social worker if I could go to a summer camp when I was 14. And I had to be brave as a child because I experienced so many challenging situations. I think about just 3 years ago, the first time I stepped into a classroom as a substitute teacher and how much bravery that took. Because going back to high school as an adult, even as a teacher, is really hard. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes up about your own high school experience. I was always lucky when I got to substitute with little primaries because they always made me feel so great about myself. But when I ended up in like grade 10 classes or grade 8 or 9 classes, I was always just like, ah. But I did it because I needed to. You know, we all have a long list of ways that we've been brave. And some of those things feel small, some feel big, some are, you know, somewhere in between. And so much of being in the world is about being brave. But I don't know how much we actually take the time to notice our own strength and our own bravery. And I think we should. You know, I think we should take time to pat ourselves on the back when we do brave things. Because those things really matter, and they tend to be the things, you know, that transform us and make us stronger. You know, as a parent, I find myself coaching my kids on how to be brave. But from a kid's perspective, adults don't often get scared, right? I've had conversations with my kids where I've shared moments that I've been scared, and I realize, like, they'll say to me, wow, like, you were scared? And it shocks me to think that our bravery looks really seamless to them, right? Kids don't see the way we feel when we have to write an email to a colleague that might be uncomfortable, right? Kids don't see how nervous we get when we go join something brand new. I remember the first time I ever went to a CrossFit class, how terrified I was. Kids don't ever see that. They just see the part where we're being brave, you know? So I do like to talk to kids, my kids, and I talk to kids I work with about what that feels like for me. And sometimes I tell them stories about moments when I'm not brave, you know, not because I want to like push them into a brave moment, although sometimes that is, you know, maybe why I tell the story. But I also tell stories about being scared and not able to do something, because those are also really great learning opportunities. I can remember so I played softball on a girls' softball team between the ages of 8 and 14, and I loved it. You know, it's funny because my mom used to tell me that when she was pregnant, she really wanted to have a girl because she wasn't into sports. She knew nothing about sports. And she used to joke that she ended up with a daughter who likes sports, which we always thought was really funny. But I love softball. Softball was a place I felt really positive and supported, especially when I moved to Pictou County. So I lived in Pictou County for a couple years, and I played on the team in Stellarton. And my coach was amazing. My teammates were amazing. And it was something I felt really good about. You know, I made the rep team both years that I lived there. And I worked really hard. Like, it was just something that was really important to me. But when I left Pictou County, I ended up back in Halifax. And I really missed playing softball, but I really did not know how to go about playing softball again. It seems really silly, but if as an adult, I understand that. But when I was 14, I knew I wanted to play the sport, but I didn't know how to make it happen. I even had a friend at school who really encouraged me to kind of join because she played softball. But I couldn't muster the courage to ask an adult to help me make it happen. And probably there was part of me that was also scared of if I did ask to make it happen, what would that be like, right? New team, new community, and that part was really scary. So it was scary to ask for help, and then it was scary what would happen if they said yes. And most likely they would have said yes, right? So I never played sports again, actually, not even just softball. I never played team sports anymore in my teenage years. I did when I was an adult, started to get back into sports and realized, wow, like I really like sports. I'm like sort of competitive. So, you know, I had moments where I felt like I really missed out on that. But, you know, I will sometimes share this story with my kids to say, you know, there are moments in time when we just can't muster the bravery to do something. And I don't tell them that story because I want them to feel guilty about not being brave enough. I do tell them that story sometimes to encourage them to not miss out on opportunities that they really want, you know, especially if it's something that they really, really want to do and they're just really scared. But more often, I tell them that story because even in the moments that we're not able to be brave, we can learn from those experiences. We can take that moment and say, you know what, I couldn't muster it. I couldn't dig deep in that moment for lots of reasons, but I can learn from that. And not joining softball in Halifax led me to asking to go to summer camp because I was determined not to miss out on something again, right? So I learned from that experience. It also led me to ask my social worker to see a counselor, which I desperately needed to see, to just work through some of the stuff that had happened in my childhood, to try to figure out my relationship with my mom and so many other things. The reality is that sometimes we're brave and sometimes we're not, and both of those experiences can teach us something. When I went to see this counselor when I was a teenager, I went to see him for like 5 years and it was transformative. And I highly recommend counseling or therapy for just about everyone. We all have stuff in life, and having someone that's not in your family, that doesn't know that much about you, listen to you and help you kind of work through things can be very powerful. And I think we're starting to be in a world where, you know, we don't have to feel embarrassed or shame about that. So highly recommend counseling if it's something you've been thinking about. So when I started to see a counselor, that took a lot of, you know, courage and bravery. But the counselor I went to see was so good. And there are so many nuggets that he left me with that I still draw on today. You know, I went to see him for like 5 years. And in that 5 years, I learned so much about myself. But I also learned so much about just everything I had gone through and how that impacted who I was. And probably all those nuggets that he gave me allowed me to do what I needed to do that year I stopped dating, right? So it's all kind of tethered together. So I want to share with you one of the nuggets that he left me with. He talked to me about this idea that we all have in our minds a board of directors. You know, in our minds, we have people who are in our life or have been in our life in some way who really we trust, we care about, and we turn to them as we try to figure life out. And I didn't really understand the concept at first. I actually didn't know a whole lot about a board of directors when I was like 17 years old. But it did stick with me because it got me thinking about who the people were in my life. And, you know, he often talked about like your board of directors, you know, those are people who are supportive, but challenge you when you need it. They're people you respect completely, people who you know would catch you if you fall. They're never people who just tell you what you want to hear, right? They are people who will say what you need to hear in the kindest possible way. And in our lives, we have moments when we're struggling or we're trying to figure something out. And we often think about those people. I think about those people in my mind. Sometimes I pick up the phone and actually call one of those people. So they are real people. Sometimes I just think about, what would that person say to me? You know, how might they support me in this moment? Because we don't all have, you know, time to pick up the phone and call someone. But those are the people in our life. And I've added people to my board of directors over the years. I've never, quote unquote, removed anyone from my board of directors because it takes a lot for someone to make it to that spot for me. And they're not all people I see all the time. They're not all people I talk to all the time. Some are people that were in my life a long time ago, but their wisdom, their kindness, and their strength still guides me in life. And sometimes in moments of challenge, I imagine what they might say or how they might, you know, nudge me forward or ask me good questions. And sometimes I call those people or I hang out with those people. And I work really hard to make sure that as I move through this world and muddle through this life, I have this group of people that not only do I trust completely, I really know that even when we haven't talked in years, they are there for me and they would be there for me in a second if I called. And so this is a concept that he taught me about, this idea that we need to have a board of directors. And they need to be the best possible people. And it stuck with me. And as I listened to Kelly Roberts when I was running, trying to keep my breathing on track, trying to keep going, even though I was tired. As I was listening to her and I was thinking about this idea of a personal coach for your running, and then thinking about a personal coach for being brave, I realized it's what I already have. Like, that is what my board of directors is. They're not literally in my ear unless I pick up the phone and call them. But they are the people that help me process when I'm not able to be brave or when something scares me so much I can't move forward. You know, they're the people that celebrate my success with me, nudge me when I need a gentle push. You know, sometimes we pin too much on bravery, as if being brave is what defines us. But it really isn't. You know, bravery is not what defines who we are. It's just an experience we have, right? We have experiences where we get scared and we get nervous and we dig deep and we push through and we learn and we grow. You know, we're defined by how we choose to live in the world, despite the things that scare us. Bravery is just one of the many things that we experience in life. And I actually think that we are more defined by who we become as we lean into or lean away from brave moments, and how we learn and how we grow. I think that's more what makes us who we are. It's not whether or not I could ask for help when I needed it, but the fact that I learned from that moment was really valuable, and that helped me move forward. So maybe in some ways, bravery is a bit like a muscle. So if you have a chance to give yourself the gift of remembering the brave things that you've done and what you've learned from the brave things you haven't done, and accept that that's okay, all those things are okay. You know, we're human and life is hard, and it is 100% guaranteed that we are all gonna have lots of challenges ahead of us. And lots of moments where we're going to be brave and lots of moments where we're not. And we're going to have lots of joyful moments and moments where we get to feel cared for and moments where we don't feel cared for. But it really is up to all of us what we do with these moments, how we take them, how we let them impact us. And I hope that, you know, as you're listening and hopefully you're thinking about, you know, your own experiences with bravery, I hope you find time to just celebrate that you've gotten this far in life, right? No matter how old you are, what challenges you have come through, you've gotten to where you are today, and that took probably like hundreds and hundreds of moments of bravery and probably a lot of things that didn't go the way you wanted them to. I think what I love so much and why I started Story Cafe is because I think sometimes in the digital age that we live in, we forget that challenges are easier when we have people around us to help us go through them, right? And it's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget that your neighbors may really irritate you, but they're also going through life and they have stuff that's going on for them. And for me, this platform is a way for me to share some of my own stories and my own challenges as a way of showcasing that life is hard, but it's worth muddling through. It's worth finding moments to be brave when you didn't think you could. And it's okay when you can't be brave, but you take those moments and you learn from them. So I want to say thank you for all of you who keep showing up. I hope the next time that you're faced with a bravery needing moment, that you think about who your board of directors are, who are your personal coaches, what might they say, how might they sit on your shoulder and cheer you on, and how might they catch you if you fall. I hope you have, whenever you're listening to this, whether it's morning or evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope the rest of your day is wonderful, and I look forward to being back here shortly. Bye for now.